1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, titling this section, Abide in the Last Hour. Abide, or that word is to continue or to remain, to stay put. There's a good way to say it. Stay put. Hold fast in the last hour. Have you ever come into a new situation, a new group, a new school, a new class, a new town, and you kind of wonder, am I going to fit in? Am I going to be accepted? Is anyone going to talk to me? Will I like this new thing? Just like the kids back there. Will I be welcomed? Will I have peace? What's going to happen in this new situation? You know, these emotional times, those events, they're kind of this heightened sense of awareness, even a heightened sense of emotions. I remember just driving down here in our Penske, whatever, I think it was a Penske U-Haul, and just kind of for the first time wondering, all right, there's a lot of flat on I-5 down here. Is there going to be any hills in Pleasant Hill? Or is that just part of the name? And I wondered, what's this new area going to be like? What are the people going to be like? Will I fit in? Will anyone talk to me? Will I get that look for the first 3 or 5 or 10 years saying, oh, that guy is the new guy in Pleasant Hill? These are the things we remember. Those new classes, those new kids, those new careers. Maybe for you, a new car. Will this thing last? Will it run? Will the computer go crazy the first day I drive it? That seems to be the issue of most of our cars now. Well, we tend to remember those emotional events, something new and unknown. We tend to wonder as we come into a new social atmosphere, such as here, the family of God, and we wonder, will I be accepted? Will people talk to me? Will I feel welcome? Will I be loved here? And I say specifically at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, that might have been a question on your mind. And as we read 1 John 2 and begin in 18, this is how John reminds this church again, and he calls them children. He calls them children. Let's read this and certainly pray over God using today's text to speak to our hearts and look at why John begins with, again, this phrase, children, or he's used little children. Let's read 18 and onward. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Did you follow that? Verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Let's pray. Father, you have used 1 John already to remind us about fellowship with God and others, walking in the light, to be not in the darkness, but to know the truth, and to have assurance that even in this day and age, this last hour, we can be those who have fellowship with you, those who can know the truth, those who can walk in the light. Thank you for how John encouraged the churches in Turkey and Ephesus and the surrounding area, and how through this letter he is encouraging us this morning. May you use your word to accomplish what it does. The power is in the word of God and not in my humble words this morning. May I be a servant to the word of God. May I teach it faithfully and prayerfully make it clear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning are 6 truths for you to know that you have fellowship with God and others, and specifically for you to know this in the last hour. As John now talks to the church, and this was close to almost 2,000 years ago, he still calls it then that they are in the last hour. And in this last hour, as we just read in that passage, with lies and deception and trickery and schemes going around, and Satan doing all that he can do to thwart the plans of God, to go out with a bang, John wants to tell his church, you can know that you have Christ in you, the Spirit of truth in you, that you have eternal life, that you can hold fast to the truth amidst all that is going around. And the 6 things that he tells us in this text, and the first one actually is not in your notes, and I just had to add it because the Lord just kind of clearly was reminding me that he begins this section with the phrase children. And the first thing we need to be reminded of is that you have a new family. As we are in the last hour, as there are those who would like to give you messages that are not truthful, that are deceptive, that would lead you and distract you away from the truth, it's good to be reminded that we have been called into a new family. Not the physical family around us, but the spiritual family of God. That we are not just sons and daughters to a specific last name. I am the son of my dad, Bruce Parker, but I am actually a son of the Most High God. You are a son or a daughter to the Most High God. You are not slaves, as Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 15. Slaves don't know what their master are doing, but I have called you friends. And actually, Galatians 4 says that we are not just friends, we are called sons and daughters. We are heirs. All that God has given his Son, all that the Son has even now, he has declared for us to have. And it comes through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. But right in this very same breath of John calling us children, he says, it is the last hour. And you, church, need to know that the Antichrist is coming. The main Antichrist. The Antichrist mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who will set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Interestingly enough, of course, you might know this already, but Antichrist means, anti can mean one who is against or one who is in the place of. You know, it certainly could be one who is going to show himself to do everything he can to fight the will and the plans of the Father. But he is also trying to show himself to be the one in place of God, declaring himself to be the ultimate king and ruler. That's why he is given the attribute not just of malice, but of deception. He's not just against the Lord and against Jesus Christ. He is trying to deceive many to follow him as Christ. But he doesn't just mention this Antichrist, who is also referred to in 2 John 7. He's referred to a few times even in the book here of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And we can see, if you look through the whole history of Scripture, that the spirit of the Antichrist has been functioning strongly ever since that first day in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, when the serpent whispered deception and lies and said, "Did God really say?" And ever since Genesis 3, the spirit of the Antichrist, Satan, the one who controls the Antichrist, has been working against God. You remember in Genesis 6, even when the sons, it says these demonic sons of God that were cast down to the earth, they married and had children with the women on the earth, and they created havoc and chaos and sin that was beyond even God saying, "I need to start over with a flood. I'm going to wipe out the people that I created and start over with Noah and his family. I'm going to start over with one family." You can continue to follow along in the history of the Old Testament that the spirit of Antichrist has been alive and continually thwarting God's plans. The Antichrist is anti-God, anti-Christ, demon-possessed. He is trying and will eventually bring hell on earth, as even Pastor John MacArthur says, that is his mission, his goal. You can read some of that in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and in Daniel 7 through 11, chapters 7 through 11. But interestingly enough, 1 John 18 doesn't just say the Antichrist is coming. Sorry. But many Antichrists have come. It's interesting, too, that John uses this language in this passage of we have been given an anointing. The anointed one, the Holy Spirit, is also the same word for Christ, the anointed one. And this Antichrist, these Antichrists, are going around trying to proclaim a message, I am the anointed one. I have a message from God. I must be heard and listened to. And you know what, though? They don't have this in their hands. They are saying, listen to me, follow me, but it doesn't come out of here. That is how you can know the truth from the lie, is these are antichrist trying to masquerade as the saviors, the anointed ones, the ones with special blessings, but they're not speaking the words of the Lord. They're speaking things that even maybe sound close and winsome. But you know what is a sign of these antichrists? Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And this gets us back to this language of the family. The language of even a local church, but here he's even in context of the worldwide church as a whole. They went out from us, the church, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. An evidence of those against Christ, against the Father, is this idea of perseverance, of sticking, of staying, of remaining. The word used over and over again, this idea of continuing with us, of remaining with us, is this word abide. That's why I titled this Abide in the Last Hour. I pray, even if Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is not your church for your whole life, that you can say, but I need to abide with the family of God somewhere. I need to be part of a local church body. I need that abiding. I want it. I want to sit under God's word. I want to learn and be taught. I need my brothers and sisters. I cannot do this alone. But those against Christ, they show themselves to not be part of the family because they depart from the church. I'm not saying that those who sometimes are here and then they're gone, that's not what we're talking about here. This is those who say, I want nothing to do with the church, with God, with the Bible, with Jesus. I do not want to talk about that. It becomes clear because they do not want to have fellowship with God or with His church, His people. But to not be so negative, I want this text to remind us of who you are. You are in the family. Over and over, we see this term Father used in the prayer Jesus taught in Matthew 6, 9, our Father in heaven, John 1, 12. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. I love the passage in Galatians 4, 4 through 6, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. Do you remember? Do you continually keep that reminder in you that you can cry out to your Father as your dad? Lord, you know me. You know all things about me. You know my needs. You know my wants. You know my desires. You know my temptations, my trials. You know what is hard in life right now. You're my Father, and He is the perfect Father. Ephesians 2:19, you are no longer strangers and aliens, the contrast here, but your fellow citizens and members of the household of God. You're part of the family. The truth is, John's impact to the church is that they would stick in the family, that they would see this family as part of God's purpose in sanctifying them, in growing them. You grow by interaction, by conversation, by reading God's word in community together. That is a way you grow in Jesus Christ. It's a household. It's a family. I'm your brother. You're my brother and sister in the Lord. Young and old, it doesn't matter. If you are in Jesus Christ, we are family. I won't break out on that old 70s song if you've ever heard that, but we are family. John wants to tell the church, begin there. Because antichrists have come, the antichrist is coming. This is the last hour. It was inaugurated when Christ rose from the dead and he sent his spirit and the church began. We are now in the final hour. Well, it's been a little bit longer than an hour. But that is the understanding that John is reminding us of, this urgency. This urgency to remain with the family of God, to remain with the Spirit, to remain in God's Word, to be taught and to be having the words of Christ in us on a daily basis. He continues now to remind us, you're not just in the family, you are anointed. Verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. This idea of being anointed, it's from the past. He's reminding them of when they were saved and the Spirit of God came into their life. And it's called an anointing. You have now been set apart. It reminds me of the Old Testament picture of the priest. We find this in Exodus 28, where God tells the priestly family to pour oil over Aaron, the priest, to signify that God is setting him apart from the nation, to almost be that intermediary, that advocate for the people to God. God is saying, Aaron, you are set apart, special. I am giving you a very important role. You will take my words and give it to the people. That was the Old Testament way of looking at it. But he is now saying that we have been anointed. We have been now set apart. We are now God's spokesperson or spokespeople. We are the light to the world. We now get to tell others God's words. We now have his words to us that we get to give out to the world. It's a reminder in this last hour that you have been set apart by God. That was a very solemn and sacred ceremony to have the oil come over the priest. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. This was the picture of peace, unity, blessing, Psalm 133. And John is reminding them, you have been set apart. James even tells us we can encourage others by reminding them when they are sick or struggling to go and pray with them and remind them of their anointing. They're being set apart by God, that God has called them out of darkness into the light. that he has called their name specifically. You have been anointed. And this also in verse 20 says, you have all knowledge. You all have knowledge. Some translations, though, say you have all knowledge, or you know all things. This doesn't mean that we have been given perfect knowledge, but we know everything that is needed for salvation to come to the light. We have been given this knowledge. And that comes to the third thing, is that you know the truth. If you are in Jesus Christ, it is a miracle, but he has opened your eyes to know and to understand, yes, with some help at times, but to be able to read God's word and to find encouragement and instruction and to see it as your light. For that's what he says here in verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. The difference is that you know the Father and the Son. You know his life and his ministry. It's been told to you. You rejoice as you read through the Gospels and see what he has done on your behalf. That is an evidence, a sign that you have fellowship with God. You're in the family, you've been anointed, you know the truth. The word here used for knowing the truth is not this ongoing relational type of knowing, like, yes, I know this person and I have a relationship and they're my friend, or yes, I know my wife, Sarah. This marriage knowledge, this intimate knowledge, the word here used for know is to know the fact, to come into full comprehension of something, to discover and remember. Yes, a man did land on the moon. There is evidence. There's broadcasting, radio, newspapers. It did happen. I can tell you that I know that for a fact. That's the kind of knowing that John says here. It's undebatable. Jesus is a reality. He was here on earth. He died and he rose again. We know these truths to be true. It's kind of like that illustration. Someone might come, oh, do you know this speaker? This happens to me sometimes. Paul, do you know this speaker on the TV, or have you heard of this evangelist or this book that was written by this author? And oh yeah, you know, I've heard of that name. I've kind of heard, and I've seen them on TV maybe. And well, do you know that they said this? And what do you think about this in the book that I read about? Well, I don't know in that sense. I don't know fully. I can't actually authoritatively speak to that specific thing because I don't want to misrepresent. I don't know that fully. Or, you know, oh yeah, I know that name, but I don't actually have a relationship with that person. There's two different kinds of knowing that can happen. And this, of course, is contrasted. We know the truth, but there is one who is the liar. And the one who is the liar denies that Jesus is the Christ, denies that he is the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And there are some other religions, even in our community here. That is the key question that we have to face. Is Christ the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, the Son of God? This is also the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. At this time in John's history, messages were going out that the Son was not eternal. He was blessed by God during a certain season of his life, but he was normal, born normal. He died on a cross and ended his life normally. And yeah, he did amazing things in between, but that was God blessing him. But he didn't come from God. He wasn't supernatural. He wasn't God himself. That was the message going around. That's actually a message that we still hear today. It's not old. It's not new. It's been around. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. Jesus said, he said that I and the Father are one. What I speak as the Father gives to me. You can't separate the two. But that's what Satan tries to do, is bring in a little bit of deception, bring in a slight message to say, oh yeah, I know who God is and I've heard of the Father, but Jesus, I don't need to listen to him. He's not related. He's disconnected. He was a good teacher, a good man. That's the lie that is spread. No, they are one, the Father and the Son together. We know the truth. That is evidence that we have fellowship with God. Fourthly, we confess. We are confessors of Jesus. Right there in verse 23, whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Matthew 10:32 says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father. Many illustrations of those who confessed Jesus. Matthew 16:16, this is when Simon Peter was asked of Jesus, who do you say that I am? And Peter confesses, he gives out his declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, Peter, you didn't say this of your own human accord. The Spirit of God gave you the words to say. He opened your eyes for you to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 11:27, where Mary and Martha are there in their home, and Jesus asks Martha, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. John 20:28, you might remember, Thomas sees the risen Lord, touches his side, and he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Are we confessors? Can we tell others when they ask, why are you different? What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of God? Are we able to say, like Thomas, well, he's not just God, he's my God. Yes, Jesus, he's my Jesus, he's my Savior. And I'll confess that, and I will tell you, I will not deny his name. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation begins with us confessing with the mouth. And even verse 10 says, for with the heart, one believes in the heart and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. They go hand in hand. We believe in the heart and it comes out in the mouth. It comes out in prayer, hopefully. Maybe your first prayer to the Lord, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. Every tongue is going to confess one day, as Philippians chapter 2 tells us. Every tongue. Every knee is going to bow, whether they bow in service or in stubbornness. Every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Do you know you're in the family? Do you know you've been set apart by God? Do you know that it is a miracle that your eyes have been opened and you can read Scripture and you know the truth? It is available. It is right before us. We can open up a book of the Bible and read the whole book in one sitting, if you would like, as we heard before. We have been given so much grace. We are confessors of Jesus. And fifth, as this word is used repeatedly, we are those who abide. We are those who remain. Look at verse 24. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. Let what you heard when you first were saved, when you first had your eyes open that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Word made flesh, He is the light of the world. As 1 John says, God is light. Let those things that you have heard from the beginning remain, stay, stick, abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And the promise of abiding, this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. I love what we read there in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. The one who promised is the one who has promised here to us eternal life. And Hebrews 10, 23 says He is faithful and He will follow through with that promise. He will stay true to His word. Do you abide and remain and stick with Jesus? Yes, there are temptations, distractions, roads that we go down that we should never go down. And the question for us is, do we come back and find God to be that rich, satisfying resource? And within us grows a distaste for sin and a goodness to follow and abide in Jesus Christ. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, if the truth abides in you, if you can confess Jesus as your Savior, if you can say His words are the truth, if you believe what He has said, then John also says you abide in the Son and in the Father. If you get one thing, you get it all. You're in the family. You get all of the inheritance. And you get, most importantly, life everlasting. Oh, how to fathom that. How to think about an ending that never ends. I kind of think of that as those stories, and they lived happily ever after. Well, but that's not eternal. I think they're trying to get a little glimpse and taste of life eternal. But this is the true story that is ever after, for all of eternity, with the Son and with the Father. How do you know that you have fellowship? You're abiding. You open God's Word. When you read it, you are convicted. Your heart is changed. Something sticks out to you. God's Spirit is used to learn from His Word. You grow closer in relationship with this Savior, Jesus. And lastly, how can you know that you have fellowship? You're being taught. You're being changed. You're holding fast to the truth. Look at verses 26 and 27. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from Him, the sent Holy Spirit, the anointing, abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This is not saying it's okay to have the attitude, I don't need anyone to teach me. I have the Holy Spirit. Let's just all go around and say that. I don't need to listen. I don't worry. I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. No, what John is refuting is there were those going around, these antichrists, saying, listen to me. Let me be your teacher. I have direct connection to God. Here, read my information, my pamphlets, my books. I heard directly from God, and I am telling you. That's been happening throughout all of history, still even to this day. Let me tell you what I receive from God. Oh, we have to be careful. Be careful in making those people your teachers. For we have already been given God's revelation. John is warning the church, you have been given your teacher, and your teacher shows you this, the words of God. We know that that is true from John 14, John 15, and 16. The Holy Spirit was promised to come, and it says there that he would guide us into all truth. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He is the one who says, go back to this. He is the one who affirms the words of God. He is the one who says, be taught by this. Because there are those who are trying to deceive. There are those that go about saying, listen to me, I have received something special from God personally. And we have to say, does it line up with what has been given to us? Does it come from the truth? All of us can be deceived. All of us can hear something with our ears and say, that sounds, yeah. Does it line up, though, with God's word? Are we in God's word so we can tell the true from the fake? Just as in if you study something so well and you know all the details and the importance and intricacies of that true thing, that when you see a fake next to it, you can tell the difference. Satan is alive and well, and his desire is to deceive and trick, but we have been given the Spirit of truth, and he will lead us into the truth. Abide in him. Through prayer, through the word, through sitting under teaching that, Lord willing, comes out of the word of God. May we as teachers submit to God's word and speak only God's word. But you are being taught by the Holy Spirit as well. These are signs, truths for you to remember of how you can have fellowship with God and others in this last hour. Because in the last hour, there is this urgency and there is this desire of Satan to continue to thwart and to throw his final punches and his final schemes until he is over with. And his day is done. And Christ will come back victorious. And the Antichrist will be shown for who he is, just that, a false, a fake, a fraud. May we not be following after any spirit of lies, but the Spirit of truth. May we stay close to his word, where the truth is found. May we ask his Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. And may we go out proclaiming truth in love to others who may be blinded and seduced by these lies and deception. And may we pray that God would open people's eyes to the truth, that they would see the light and be drawn out of darkness into the family, into a relationship with God, their Father. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your truth. Thank you that we have been called to abide in you, for in you we see clearly. In your word is everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, even as we think of the church here that we read about in John's day, we know that the church worldwide is all over. And there is much lies and deception going around, even as we think about the continent of Africa this morning, Lord. May you bring your word and literacy of your word to that continent, even to the hearts of those who are now in communities reading your word. Lord, may that word stick, that written word, the truth, and may it change our hearts and change the lives who are in darkness and bring them to the light. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, who reminds us of what we have been given in Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name we say all these things. Amen.